the session for today, we've been discussing a number of issues related to Bikur Cholim and kind of making our way through the various issues that arise when it comes to visiting the sick and halachic questions that come up in the course of chaplaincy or visiting the sick more generally. And so I want to share with you a couple of the issues that come up specifically when it comes to prayer with patients. These are, what I'm going to share with you are halachic issues, you know, issues in Jewish law, but they help us understand more deeply, I find, some of the values and theory behind, you know, the mitzvah of visiting the sick, and can help inform our practice more generally. So I'm going to show you a few Talmudic texts and a few commentaries, and then we will discuss. So I'll pull up on the screen. First of all, I'll show you the Gemara in Brachos. This is Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. That would be 34a. And the Gemara says as follows. Interesting piece there. It says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Mavakesh Rachim Machavero, anyone who prays for another person, Mavakesh Rachim Machavero, Ein Tzarech Lahazkir Shmo. You don't have to mention their name. Shenemar El Narafa Nala. When Moshe prayed for Miriam, he just simply said those five short words, El Narafa Nala, Velo Kemadchar Shma de Miriam. And in fact, as we studied before in the past, the Gemara says, you know, we know that you can pray very long. You can pray for 40 days and 40 nights like Moshe did, or you can pray very short, sometimes very short, and the shortest prayer possible can be five words, El Na Rafa Na La, or for a man, could be El Na Rafa Na Lo. God, please heal him. God, please heal her. And you see that when Moshe prayed for Miriam, he didn't say her name. He didn't say Mishar Berach and the whole thing, Miriam, but he just said her. So that's already interesting, because we usually get people pretty concerned to make sure we have the name of the chola. Everyone's always asking for the name. So why was he able to just mention the name? The Magen Avraham says there in the commentary, Hamavakish Rachim al Chaver and Tzarech Lazkir Shmo, V'hani Mili Befanav. That's when you're in the presence of the patient. When you're with them, you don't have to mention their name. Avakim Shemis Palo Shalo Befanav, Tzarech Lazkir Shmo. Then you have to mention their name if you're not with them. It's almost like, you know, you have to be sure. It's like, it's obvious to God when you're praying for someone, you're right there in front of them. You say, God, please heal this person. But when you're just, you know, praying in shul or praying by yourself, you say, God, please heal that person. God's like, well, who do you have in mind? Or maybe it has more impact on us, right? We say their name. It causes us to have more compassion. We'll discuss in a minute other reasons why that might be. But the point is that the Magen Avraham seems to distinguish this Gemara was about praying in the person's presence. Then you don't need to say the name. But when you're not in their presence, maybe you should say the name. The Iyun Yaakov there on Brachos gives a little bit more color to this. He says, what does this mean? He says, Shu'ulai Shem Acholi Garm Lo Acholi. Maybe, as we discussed before, when it comes to changing the name of a patient. Nowadays, we don't change the name, we add a name, because we're concerned that a person's life force somehow is connected with their name. So we're very careful about not just changing their name, because their name is so significant. So he says maybe the name is connected to them. Shahari mipnei kach mishchanim shem achola. So we have to be very careful about saying the name if the name is what causes sickness. And if it is the case, then maybe we should even change the name. So he was concerned about not mentioning the name if that name is what caused him to be sick. Don't say the name. But we say the name, right? Normally we say the name. Even with patients, to be honest, oftentimes patients will say to me that they ask for a mishaberach. So I think in my head, you know, oh, but the Gemara says you don't have to say the name, right? I'm right there in front of them. But I know for many people, they want to hear it. It's like it makes it more official. They want to hear you say their name. So can I say, is this a prohibition against saying the name? Or does it just mean you don't have to say it? Meaning God knows. You don't have to tell God. God knows the name. But if you want to say the name, it's fine. If I introduce them and I say, I'm standing with my friend and I say to someone, oh, you know, Alan, you're so good at this. I didn't have to say his name, but you can't. It's not like you're prohibited. So Rav Avadi Yosef discussed this question. And I like what he says here. He says in Yibia Omer Chelik Beis or Achaim Simenet Yudalef, he says, V'isi Lagon Rav Yitzchak Atia, in his Sefer Rov Dagan, he says, Sheshi Tmoa al Minhagenu Shenogin Liz Pala al Chola B'Shmo V'Shem Imo. We normally say the name. But the Gemara says, you don't have to. V'ham Miyasinan Ma'isa Rav De Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom or Eved Hashem, Delo Midchar Shema de Miriam, Velo Shem Ima. But Moshe didn't say her name, first of all. He didn't say the mother's name, but he didn't say her name at all. V'nira demashma lehu lishna de'ein sarech she'enu chayev. What it meant there is you're not obligated to say the name. God can figure out who you're talking about. But if you want to be very clear and you want to say, I am praying for so-and-so, it's more meaningful if I say their name, right? That's very clear. I want to be clear about that. Then, of course, you can. It's just was saying that you don't have to. Moshe didn't say your name because Moshe, you don't have to. You know, God knows what you mean, and it's right there. But you can say the name. Harashus b'yado. V'lo ka'amar sheyesh iser b'zev. There's no prohibition, certainly, in saying the name. And so therefore, the custom has developed to say the name. So according to Rav Avadya, what he's saying is that the Torah said, Moshe said, God said, right? The rabbi said, you don't need to mention the name. Ein tzarich lazker shmo. You don't have to mention the name when you're praying for someone. You can just pray. But some of the rabbis said, oh, maybe it means when you're in their presence, but if you're not in their presence, you should say the name. Rav Avadya is saying, You never had to mention the name, but the custom developed to mention the name, and so we do because people prefer that. But it's not that it is required. In fact, there's a great story that I saw about the Stipler Gaon, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. It's quoted here in this next source. It says in the Sefer Toldos Yaakov. It says Hova Mibal HaKilas Yaakov. In that Sefer Toldos Yaakov, the Kilas Yaakov said Shamar V'chi Yachol Ani Lispala Al Kol Echad. Everyone would come send him, kvitlach and bring their names and send, ask for him to pray for them. Can I pray for every single person? What if I have 100 people to pray for? How am I going to do that? At night, I simply take all the letters that people sent to me. He would say one thing of Tehillim over all the people. Remember, this is, someone who spent his time learning Torah, wanted to be very careful with his time. His son, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, if you remember, he had a custom to say, when he would give a bracha, everyone comes in for a bracha. I went to him for a bracha once, and he yelled at me, Bua! And I was with my son, I remember, I was like, what just happened? And I remember there were some kids playing in the courtyard outside his house. So I went over to them, and they all saw us, and they said, oh, kibaltim bracha mi Rav Chaim? I said, Ken, I think we did. I don't really know exactly what happened. So I said to these little kids, these little seven-year-old kids playing soccer, Tagidli, Maze Bua? Oh, Ken, Bua, kibaltim bracha. Maze Bua, ze bracha v'hatzlacha. Rav Chaim would say, he didn't want to spend the time, he would have to give thousands of blessings a day. So instead of saying the whole line, bracha v'hatzlacha, he would just shorten it to a few letters, Bua. So you're talking about people who would use their time very carefully, very wisely. And so his father also, he would have this packet of letters from people to pray for them. So instead of praying for all of them one at a time, he would say one chapter of Psalms and simply have them all in mind and have them all in the bag. So the point is, you don't have to say everyone's name. You have them in mind, and that also works. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, so that was interesting. He says, V'yesh mi shirotze lomar, t'kesheachole b'mokom acher. But let's say the patient's somewhere else. They're far away. Lo yispal olav. Then you shouldn't pray for them. This was in times of before we had communication. Let's say it's either on Shabbat or you don't have cell phones, whatever. Maybe they thought you should not pray for someone if you're not with them. Why not? You don't know if they're still alive. How can you pray for a Rufua Shlema if they're a sick person and you don't know if they're alive anymore? But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no. L'mias daiti. We assume Rov Cholim B'chaim, we assume people are alive, and you can pray for them. That is why we have the concept, by the way, as a side point, of a Goses, that we usually say a Goses means they're within their last 3 days of life. It's not actually accurate. A Goses, there's different definitions. That's the person who's in the dying process. It doesn't mean the last 3 days of life. What it does mean halachically is we say, we have to make an assessment. Are we going to pray? What are we going to say in our prayers? And when are we going to assume someone's still alive? And the rabbis would assume that within 3 days of parting with someone who was on their deathbed, you can assume they're alive. After 3 days, you assume that they are dead. Of course, today we don't have to make these assumptions. We have better ways of determining if they are alive or not. But that was another issue of can you pray for someone specifically by name if you're not sure if they're even alive anymore? And this can be a question on Shabbos. You hear on Friday someone's very sick, and then on Shabbos you want to say pray for Refuah Shlema. Should you? So in general, we say, yeah, you know, you can pray for a fua. You still can pray. If you're praying for a fua on Friday, still pray for it. If you're not, if you think that they're dying, though, maybe it's better to pray, you know, hatov be'enav yase. You pray to Hashem, you know, you do what's right. You do what you think is best. And of course, you're also praying for their neshama, fuas hanefesh. So that still can have an impact on Shabbos as well, even if you are not certain. But there is a problem, by the way, with all this. We're talking about now, do you pray by name or not? And like I said, patients ask me all the time, and I'm sure they do it for you as well. And I think people find it to be more authentic or more meaningful to hear their name being prayed for. There is something special about that. You prayed for me by my name. This is the traditional minhag. This is the custom. We saw the Gemara says you don't have to. The Magen Avraham said, well, you don't mention their name if you're in front of them, but you do if you're not in front of them. But Rav Avadya Yosef pointed out that it's that you don't have to mention their name, but you can, and that has become the custom, oftentimes even in front of the patient. And in fact, the Gemara seems to imply elsewhere that there is a value of mentioning their name. This is the problem. The Gemara in Tainus says as follows. There was a story, there's a whole bunch of Gemaras there in Tainus in the 20s, you know, 23, 24, 25, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalad, Chaf Hey, about prayer and all these rabbis that would pray and their prayers were heard. There's one specific prayer that of a neighbor of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Says there was a neighbor, he says, Havle Hahi Shivavta Deka Banya Beisa Velo Matu Kishure. This neighbor of Rav Chanina ben Dosa was building a house, Bane Beita. And the ceiling beams, the kishure, the beams in the ceiling, the wooden beams on the ceiling, that those wooden beams were lo matu. They were not reaching all the way. You imagine you build a house. It's one thing, you know, today you put together a project, you know, from IKEA. You're building a desk, and all of a sudden the legs don't reach the floor. Something the fourth leg doesn't reach the floor. You're like, oh no, I put it upside down or something. But imagine you're building a house, and the beams to hold the roof don't reach all the way from one wall to the next wall. You're like, oh great, I got to knock down the whole house, or what am I going to do? It's a big problem. So Asya Lekame, so he said, well, one solution is go to my holy neighbor, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, this holy rabbi. Amar Lei, Banisa Besi, I built my house, Velo come to Kishurai, but the beams of my roof do not fit, and my house is going to collapse. What can I do? Amar Lei, Ma Shimcha, what is your name? Ma Shmeich, what's your name? He said to him. Interesting. Why did he want to know his name? So he says, anyways, he says, what's your name? So this person who was in the house, Amalei, says, Iko. She said her name is Iko. So then he responds, Iko nimto kishurech. The beams will reach. And then, miraculously, the beams reached. Now, this is interesting, right? Because Rav Chanina ben Dosa could have just said, okay, I'll pray. The beams will reach. But he said, what's your name? He did ask for the name, which is fascinating. Clearly, there was something about his prayers that needed the names within it. We don't have recorded here the prayer that he said. He said some kind of prayer, but the name seems to have been included. So Ben Yehoyada, that's the Ben Ish Chai from Iraq, says as follows in his commentary. He has a long piece here, but I'll just read the beginning of it. But I thought it was interesting. He says, first of all, Yesh the Hakshos, this is a question. Lama Hotrach Le Dashma, why did he have to know the name? Kivan de Omedas Lefanov, especially because he was standing right before the person. Yispaale could have just prayed for Bli Haskar Shema. He could have just said the prayer without the name. Ukumosha Amru Gabi Miriam. Yispaale Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, or Evan Hashem, there's different of opinion what that I and Hey means. Alea, Velo Hiskir Shema. Moshe didn't say the name of Miriam. He just, and we know from the Gemara we just read, it says there, you didn't have to pray for persons when you say their name, you don't have to pray for them when you're in front of them. But he, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, was in front of Iko when he said her name. So what's the difference? This seems to be a contradiction. The Chain Yisrael Amru, Im Nafson Titein Es Ha'am Hazeh Biyadi Mishum Dehayu Lefana. But that's because they were in front of them. Venerely. So what's one answer? The Ben Huyada says, B'Sefet D'Shmaya Ratza Leida Shema. Why did he, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, want to know Iko's name for the prayers? Ratza Leidashma Kedelios Badik Beshem. He could look into a person and know who they are based on their name, which is very scary, and also why it's important to have a good name, right? He could look at a person and name and say, based on their name, I have some information about who they are, and if they deserve their prayers to be answered. It wasn't Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's tzidkus, his righteousness. It was the person's righteousness. He just simply knew how to tap into their righteousness and connect it to the proper source. So he wanted to know the name, Kedelios Badik Beshem, Leida im Reuya La Soslanes, if she deserved a miracle. Ukamosh Amrugabe Rabbi Meir Balhanes, to have a Badik Beshma, that Rabbi Meir Balhanes, he would get miracles. That's how he would do it. That's how he would do it. He would look at their name. So that's one. It wasn't necessarily that he had to use the name in the prayer. He simply needed to know if her name was fitting. And that answers why Moshe didn't ask about Miriam. He knew her name, and he knew that she was worthy of a miracle. So he didn't have to ask her name. He knows her. Moshe didn't know this woman. Although you could argue, you could say, well, then again, it just said it was his neighbor. And she went to him like as if she knows him. I mean, she obviously went to him before. You could argue, well, he obviously knew her. But so I don't know. I don't know. And also, it wasn't her Hebrew name, right? Because you could say, no, he wants to know her Hebrew name. But Iko, I don't think that's a Hebrew name. I'm not sure, but I know I never heard of it before. I don't know what it means. Iko. Okay, anyways, that's one answer. He gives another answer. Inami. Fascinating answer. Hasam gabe Miriam. When it came to Miriam, Hatfila haisa al guf Miriam. It was her body. She was sick. El na rafanala. Her body was sick. Ulachain, kivan de haguf atzmo lefanav. Since the body was in front of him, her body, her person was there. Ain tzarech lahazkir shem haguf. Because she's right there. Avalkana tefila al hakishure. Now when you're praying on the beams of the roof, ain haguf hakishure lefanav. But they weren't at the house. Remember, she came to his house, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's house. So the product, the thing that you're praying for, wasn't there. So when the thing's not there, it's one thing if I pray, may you be healed, and I'm looking at you, right? I don't need to say your name, you're right there. But if you are not near me, I say, oh, may that person, her name is Miriam, she's over there. Then you need to say the name. But it's deeper. He says, no, it's actually something deeper, though. He says, l'kach ratzal le'dashim ba'ala sakashuri, he needed a name, kadesh yu osios shemat sinoret l'shaleach behem hashefa laguf hakishuri, mishum da guf hakishuri heim shel iko. The idea is, now it's getting Kabbalistic, since these products belonged to Iko, and he now needs to bring down the healing powers from God, right? The healing agencies, the healing, the angels, whatever you want to say it, the Shefa Bracha, the flow, the divine flow. You have to bring down the divine flow through the person, through the name. So again, Moshe is with Miriam. He's able to tap into that divine flow right there because she's in front of him. But if you're not in front of the person, the name helps you tap into the divine flow, which is a fascinating answer, right? Before, I purposely gave more of what we'd call like a balabatish answer. If the person's not in front of me, I'm saying to God, God, I know you have a lot of people to pray for right now. So God, I need to tell you who I'm praying for. And let me say the name. Because otherwise, I can't just say like, oh, that person I met, you know, on the street yesterday in front of Ralph's, God, please heal them. And of course God knows who that is, but I want to be more clear and say their name. Or it helps me to make my prayer more meaningful because I think about that person. I have more rachmanos, I have more compassion for them. But Ben Yehoyada is saying something deeper. He's saying, no, actually the divine channels of healing come down through the name, and I have to mention the name in order to bring down that spiritual reality, which when I'm with the person, I can tap into without saying their name, even though I can say their name, and maybe it's even a good thing to do so, as we'll come back to, but I don't have to. Which I just thought was a fascinating idea. And so just to summarize, just to be clear about that point, because people get confused. A lot of people say, sometimes people like try to correct me, you know, if I say Misha Berach in a patient's room, and they say, oh, no, you only say Misha Berach in shul. In front of the person, you just say Misha Berach, but you don't have to say their name. But it's not necessarily true that you just don't have to say their name. And it's also true on the other hand, when sometimes people say, like, make sure to say Misha Berach, you don't have to say a whole Misha Berach in front of the person. But it could be that it's a good thing. A couple other questions before we conclude. What about when you pray for your father or your teacher? You know, normally don't say their name. When in my shul, my son is the gabbai. So when he calls me up for an aliyah, for example, my Hebrew name is Yehuda Leib Ben Tzvi Hirsch. My son does not call me up Yamod Yehuda Leib Ben Tzvi Hirsch, you know, Revi'i, whatever. He calls me up Yamod Avi Mori Ben Tzvi Hirsch. He doesn't even say my name at all. That's the proper, technically. You're not supposed to say your parents' names, especially in front of them, right? Particularly in front of them. You don't refer to them by their first name. But what about a Misha Berach? In a Misha Berach, because now if the whole thing is bringing down that divine flow, so to speak, does that divine flow go through, you know, Avi Mori? That's not my name. My name is not Avi Mori or Rabbi Mori, if I'm talking about my rabbi. So this is one of the questions that's often asked. And you have here the base, the Birka Yosef says, you should not say, you know, we say, you know, Avi Mori, Esachola, Rabbi Mori. You say Esachola and then say their name. And, you know, and actually we know that because when Shlomo HaMelech was speaking to Hashem, he said, David Avdi. I mean, sorry, he didn't say Avdi or whatever. He said, David Avi. He said, David Avi, David my father, when he's talking about it. Elisha. Elisha said, the Lord of Eliyahu, right? So and this is true also with Uriah. There's a number of examples. So we know from that since Shlomo HaMelech said David Avi, when he was talking about praying for him and for healing, that is allowed. What about praying for oneself? Praying for oneself is actually a beautiful thing. We know on the one hand that the Gemara says, Kol hamispal biad chaveru, hu tzarich losa davar, hu nena tchila. If you need something and your friend needs something, you should pray for that person, ideally. Pray for them, at least pray for them first. However, when the Torah said Ba'asher Husham, when Avram prayed for Yishmael, Ba'asher Husham as he was, it says, Beschus atzmo. Yafa tefila sachula la'atzmo yosem mishel kol b'nei adam. The ideal prayer is the prayer for oneself. So yes, you can rely on and hope others will pray for you and ask them to pray for you, but you should pray for yourself as well. And I know that I found with patients many times that when they ask me to pray for them, and I say, of course I can. And I say, and I hope you'll pray for yourself as well. And they say, what do you mean? I'm not a rabbi, or I'm not going to be in shul or whatever it is. I don't know the prayers. I often say, it's better to pray for yourself. You could just talk to God. Just talk. God wants to hear you. That's when God wants to hear you the most. Just turn to God and just talk, and just talk. Tell God what you need and what you're feeling and what you're hoping for. That is allowed, and that is actually not just allowed. That's a beautiful thing and an encouraged thing. It's often, I'll just tell you before the last couple points. In Judaism, we're talking here so much about standardized prayers, right? Like prayers that are from a book, from a siddur, that have been written down for centuries and ages. And on one hand, it's so beautiful that we have the merit, the beautiful opportunity to say prayers in our religion that our ancestors had as well, and that were composed by Chassidei Elyon, pious, holy people, prophets that had divine inspiration. You know, it's so profound that we can say these prayers and these exact same words that we've been saying for thousands of years. On the other hand, in addition to those beautiful prayers we have, there's the beautiful opportunity to just pray to God, to talk to God and tell God what's on our minds and reach out to God. And that's also a beautiful schus. And I know, and I've learned this from many of my colleagues in chaplaincy, that it is a beautiful opportunity to say petitionary prayer and spontaneous prayer and just prayer from the heart. And oftentimes, I'll encourage patients to do that. Sometimes they even feel scared to, they need permission. So I'll give them permission. Sometimes to give them permission, I have to start myself and say, okay, you know what? I'll start the prayer and then you continue. So I even came up, and this is so Jewish, but I came up with even a little bit of a text for a spontaneous prayer. So what I'll do is I'll tell the person, you know, tell me more about what you're feeling, where who you are, what you're going through, what your hopes are, your dreams are, your experience, what it's like to be you. Help me understand you. And then the prayers, I'll say, okay, dear God, I'm here with so-and-so. And I do find it, special to say their name in those situations because I'm talking to God. I'm like saying to them, like, here, I'm giving you permission that you are standing in front of God. Here's your name. And we're telling God you're there. I'm here with so-and-so. And they're experiencing, you know, such and such. I'll now reflect back on what I heard. And they would like to ask for this, you know, they're hoping for healing or unity in their family or, you know, whatever it is. And now they want to say something to you. And also sometimes they're like, oh, wow, okay, gosh, yes. And the truth is, I've had some experiences where patients in those moments shared things with me that were so private and sincere. Sometimes there were things that their doctors needed to know and they haven't told their doctors because they open up in ways that they haven't opened up. And sometimes I've had to say to them, you know, I think your doctors need to know this. And they say, okay, you know, you're right. And there's been a few times where, like, one time I remember a patient, they were trying to figure out why I won't give details, but why they were suffering so much. And it turned out they told me they weren't taking their medications and they told me the reasons why. And I finally said, you know, we need to tell your doctors. And they did tell their doctors and then they got better. And I remember thinking to myself, like, their prayers got answered, but it was through the medicine, but it was through the prayers also. It's thanks to the prayer that they took their medicine that their prayers got answered. You know, it's a profound opportunity to say these prayers. And sometimes it's very sad. I mean, it can go in all directions. I still remember a story where there was a patient here. Were you going to say something, Alan? Oh, no, anyone's welcome to talk. I don't want this to be a monologue, but I can just see there. There was a patient who was on bed rest in the hospital, and she was pregnant. And it was a very high-risk pregnancy, and I was visiting her every day. And her husband, I kind of just hit it off with them. They're the exact same age, just had a lot in common. We were, you know, Ben Gilo. And one day, it got very serious, and she was told, you know, she was going in for emergency C-section, and they knew it was high risk, and they asked me to come say a prayer before they went in. So I said a prayer for them, and then I said this. I said, you know, you should say a prayer. And they said, oh gosh, they like kind of stammered, like, what do we say? I said, you know, fine, let me start, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. I said what I just said. I turned it over to them. And then the husband was too choked up to say anything. But the wife, the patient herself, the mother, she said, it was so strange. She said, dear God, be with my husband and don't let my baby be alone. Support my husband and don't let my baby be alone. Those are the words. I thought it was an interesting prayer. They were then rushed into the prayer, into the surgery. We came downstairs to the chapel. We were then saying prayer Tehillim, and then we said a Misha Berach. Once we heard, I kind of got indication from her surgeon that things were not going well, so we said a Misha Berach for her. And then, unfortunately, I got a call from the surgeon. I should bring the family up that, unfortunately, actually, shockingly, she had died. It was a big shock, and it was very tragic. And then, actually, the next day, she was buried with her baby. The baby died as well. They were buried together in the same grave. And I went to the Shiva. First of all, at the Shiva, the father said to me, right when I walked in the Shiva, he said, Rabbi, your prayers didn't work. You said a Misha Berach prayer. At that last moment, she was dying right then, and it didn't work. You failed, which was a horrible thing, and we'll discuss that in another session. I have a lot to say about that, but it really shook me up and changed in many ways the way that I pray with patients. But then the mother said to me, I realized, you know, you walked her out to the elevator with her husband. You were walking around. I'm like praying with her, and I know she was talking to you, and then she went into the operating room, and we never saw her again. I realized, the mother said to me, that whatever she said to you, those are her last words. She says, Rabbi, what did she say? And I thought back, and I remember she said, support my husband, and don't let my baby be alone. And everyone broke down. She said, wow, those are her last words. And in fact, her baby wasn't alone. Her baby was buried with her, and the community rallied to support her husband. Anyways, I'm just sharing this, not to be a downer, but just to show how meaningful prayer can be with the patient, so impactful, and bring out things that would knock them out otherwise. One last question. Let's just deal with one last point. This is related to that, in fact. How come in the Misha Berach prayers, the custom is to pray their mother's name? So I said my name is Yehuda Leib Ben Tzvi Hirsch. But if someone was praying for Misha Berach for healing for me, they would pray Yehuda Leib Ben Sarah. Sarah is my mother's Hebrew name. Why is that? Why do we pray by the Hebrew name? Rav Avadya Yosef, in that tshuva that we were looking at before, the same tshuva in Chelek Beis or Chaim Siman Yud Aleph in Yabia Omer, he gives some reasons. He says, first of all, he says, "Shebnei Adam Makir Na'isha Shei Aim Havlad Yosef Mi'aviv." There, in a certain sense, it's certain. You know exactly who the father is, right? Because we want to be very we want to be very exact. We want to say the prayer for the right person. We want to get it right. We want to be medayik. So there's more vadaus with the mother because the baby came out of the mother, right? So he says, you know, that's one reason. And he goes on. He says, so for that reason, azlinan baser shema aim shehi yosu yadua mishum. The rov mitorah suffix. We want to be very, very certain about that. However, not everyone feels like comfortable. That in some ways, that's like not nice to the father, right, or to the mother, even. Like, what? How many men could it have been, right? So like the Ben Yehoyada, then he quotes him and says, "Hatam she'omrim shem imo v'lo shem aviv omrim ha'olam ki imo vadaus yosim yaviv." Everyone says because we're certain who the mother is and not certain who the father is. V'lo nichali b'zeh, and he says, "I don't like this." He says, "V'adarava yesh b'zeh chilu kavod." This is like disrespectful to say, "Oh, we know for sure who the mother is, not the father, so we're going to say that name." Shemizalzla b'aviv she'osim b'tor safek. Amnam nira li b'siyat d'shmaya hatam. What's the reason? He says, Ben Yehoyada. She'ein ala isha kachrogim kol kach kmo ish. She'betur mitzvah saseh she'azman grama v'avon bitzol Torah. since in the Torah, women are not obligated as many mitzvos, when God, when you say the name, God does a quick little evaluation. And you say the prayer for the person, God says, well, let me see. Do you deserve healing? And the father, you, your name and your father's name, there might be a lot of sins, a lot of mistakes that they made because there's more mitzvos, more obligations. So there's a higher chance that God's going to say, you know what? There's so many things you didn't do right. But with women, since they didn't have as many mitzvot, there's less chance of that, and God's going to be more likely to answer. That's the answer he gives. Others say, similarly, but for the opposite reason, Shekashir mevakshim rachamim, I'm sorry, next line. He says, Mishum sherachmi ha'em rubim rachmi av. There's more like a mother, we are arousing a mother's mercy. And a mother has stronger mercy for a son. And when we think about them, for the child, and we think about the child and their mother, we think more about, we're more inclined to be reminded of the mercy for that person. And so we're asking for mercy. We're being mevakish rachamim, literally. And so the, we say with the mother's name. Another reason he quotes other reasons that he doesn't like here. He says, he quotes another reason where Ravadia says, Kadesh shalom levayish lahabah mibas Yisrael. Sheba alei goy davlad kasher, kamo Rav Mari bar Rachel. There, you know, since Judaism goes by the mother, you could have a case, especially if it was a case, let's say someone was raped or something, or not, you could have a case where a woman, the father is not Jewish, but the mother is. The mother is obviously going to be Jewish unless the person converted, which we'll talk about in a second. But since there's more likely that the mother is Jewish, and if you say always say the father, you might embarrass the person if their father's not Jewish. You didn't want to embarrass them in shul when you say the Mishabrach. That was another reason he gives. But he says, "Nah, mikum akum nira she'ein ze ela al tzad ha'yoser tov." That's just ideal. Avaloshi kapeta, you have to be strict about this. Befrat she'ein yodim es shem ha'im. What if you don't know the mother's name? Shaper damir lomar shemav. For sure, you can say the name of the father, or shemo belvad, or you just say their name. You just say their first name. Which is interesting, by the way. This is the same thing as what Ravadia said when it came to don't pray with the person's name in front of them. He said, no, you could. It's just that you don't have to say it in front of them. Same thing with saying the mother's name. You could say the father's name too. It's just, it's yoter tov. It's ideal. And of course, we're praying for healing. We want to do things the ideal, but you don't have to. You can say the father's name. That's allowed. As Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, the way he writes it is, he says, "Ein lahakpid al kach ve'im lo yadu shem ha'im v'vade yesh lispalo gam al pi shem ha'av shari hadavar yadu lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu." God will know, and so you can say the father's name. By the way, what if the person is a convert? So what do you say? So obviously, you then say, you say Ploni, their name, Ben Avraham, for a man. And it's obviously you're talking about Avraham Avinu, though the custom is not to say in that case, Ben Avraham Avinu. That's what it says in, that's what Rav Yashua said, Kovetz Shuvos. But some people do say Avraham Avinu, but usually we don't say it that way. For a woman, though, we don't say Sarah. We don't say Ben Sarah. We say Bat Chava, because she's Eim Kol Chai, the mother of all, actually. So it's interesting. For a woman, usually we say Bat Chava. Interestingly, now just I'll mention an interesting psak of actually one other thing, just another interesting point. The Degel Machne Ephraim points out, also the Kutim Aran in the end of Bereishis says that when we said Rafana, like in the word El Na Rafana La, Rafana is the same gematria of Miriam and Yocheved, Miriam Yocheved. So some argue that when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying El Na Rafana La, he was praying for Miriam with the name of her mother, Yocheved. Miriam bat Yocheved, because of the same gematria, Rafana Allah, which is just a fact. That was fascinating. Couple last things people often ask about is, you should, what if someone has like a nickname, right? Someone has a nickname, what's an example? Like my name is Yehuda Leib. A lot of people within the same Yehuda Leib go by like label. Label, Labi, Labish, something like that, right? But for a Mishabeirach, you should give the whole name, the actual name, right? Not the kinui, not the nickname. Ella, I'll just quote to you from Rav Steinberg. Elaim came nishtaka shmoha ikari legarmi. What if they don't know it? What if they don't know the name? Vein mishtam shimbo klar, or they just, because they never use that name. then maybe you could actually in Halicha Shomer, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that ein maskirin klal es shem hamishpacha, and it's also not customary in a Mishnah Berurah to say the family name. Another interesting halacha: im shmo shel chola hu shem nachri. What if they have a non-Jewish name, like I don't know, Jason, something like that? But someone doesn't know their Hebrew name, especially like my name. If someone's name is like, let's say, Judah, so you can know obviously their Hebrew name is probably Yehuda or Jacob, Yaakov. But my name, how's someone going to know that Jason is Yehuda, Yehuda Leib? So what would they do if someone wants to say Mishra Berach for me? He says, or shebechlal ein lo shem, or they don't even have a Hebrew name. They never got one. Because mokom yaskiru es shmo kafi shehu murgal bein abrios ukafi shekosvin begitin. You can actually say their English name in a Mishra Berach. If you don't know their name, that's fine. That's totally allowed, obviously. But though for like the Kabbalistic reasons that we mentioned before, that, you know, somehow through your name, it's brought down the Shefa. Like obviously your true name, your true essence, your soul is connected through your Hebrew name. So obviously that's ideal. But at the end of the day, we are praying for God, to God, for a refuah shlema, for a healing. And you can just say the name of anyone. In fact, you don't really even technically have to say the name, as we saw. And so that's fully justifiable. So anyways, these are just some of the interesting issues that come up when it comes to the Mishra Berachs and praying with a patient. There's many more, and we'll continue going on. I think next time I want to talk about what to do when it comes to praying for a patient to die. Is that ever appropriate? We also talked about the whole issue of, you know, when I said a Mishra Berach for a patient who was dying, and what was the right thing to do in that case. There's a lot of different issues, but here we're talking about healing, and as I mentioned, family just got up from Shiva this morning, and this shir should be at Ilui Nishmas for my father-in-law, Alexander Sender Daniel Ben Shmuel, Alav Shalom, because the Shem should have an aliyah, and that especially happened through the learning of Torah, as we're doing now. And thank you for attending and giving the opportunity to learn in his merit. And all of our prayers should be answered, right? We should, our tefillah should be answered, and everyone should have a refuah shlema.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Yeah, good point, Rachel. Let's just do one at a time. Excellent. Yeah, so one reason to pray for the mother's name is Mama Racha. Mama Racha, she cries, and as they were going to Golis, she prayed for them. Exactly, so good.
Right.
So we have
right. Racha in mind. Have children, Chana, etc. Their bodies weren't working for them. And they prayed. And
their prayers worked, right? Yes. Beautiful. Yeah.